morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Well, Denise, domestic gardeners have been pretty busy across El Paso. And I know next weekend they're going to start up their weekly appearances at the farmer's market at Artovino's Desert Crossing.
Definitely. We have 20 Saturdays, believe it or not, that the master gardeners participate at Artovino's farmer's market. So the entire summer season running from Memorial Day all the way to right around Labor Day or so. And the beginning of the garden summer hours at the market, they'll have different kinds of vegetables and talks to be able to share with you all. And then they'll have, come early June, they'll have a big crop of tomatoes coming to the farmer's market as well. So no matter what you see or whatever Saturday you decide to drop by, see something different and hear from somebody new. And feel free to ask any questions to master gardeners. Take a photo of your plant or even take a little sample of your plant and they'll be able to help you out.
And so those farmer's markets are again every Saturday beginning next weekend on Memorial Day weekend at Artovino's Desert Crossing. That's in Sunland Park, New Mexico. And I believe those hours run from about 7:30 a.m. to noonish.
I believe so.
Right around there. Keep it tuned. We'll keep you informed. But we're looking forward to the master gardeners being there. And I guess with students, you know, it's coming up sort of towards the end of the school year for many kids. And I know that the Ascarata Teaching Garden that you have over there on 6900 Delta, you have quite a few camps and field trips that you are inviting students to perhaps participate in.
Yeah, definitely. Throughout the school year, what we do is we have a lot of field trips for public schools, private schools, homeschool groups. And they come through the garden and they usually get a half day program. And everything that we have at our teaching stations is lessons from the Junior Master Gardener curriculum that's TEKS aligned. So it's everything that the teachers will be touching over in the classroom as well. So we hope that these field trips kind of add to what's being taught in the classroom in a nice little outdoor setting. And that just doesn't stop during the summertime. There's, of course, school's not in session, but if there are groups and camps and folks that want to come out for a tour, we can certainly host them, whether that's a youth tour or an adult tour alike. All we just need is a few weeks of lead time to be able to schedule that accordingly. But it's a really great way to see an actual functioning garden. It is designed like a community garden is. So if you're interested in community gardening and wanting to see how things are configured, how they're lined up, we can show you everything of how the irrigation is installed, how the beds were built and filled, and what we're growing every season. That way you can get a good sense of what you can, you know, take back and inspire back to either your school campus come the fall or your community garden in your own neighborhood.
So if you want to schedule a tour, you can call the A&M AgriLife Extension. That's at 771-2354, 771-2354. And the Master Gardeners will also be continuing their gardening conversations at area libraries come June. So we'll give you a heads up as to when those are coming up, too. Well, today we want to focus on container gardening. This is something we talk about pretty frequently on this program, but we're going to try to focus our entire show on container gardening. And by container gardening, we mean, you know, the pots that we have out on our patio with our plants, not necessarily the garden that you may have out in your yard, but the nice showcase of plants and or flowers and or vegetables that you may have growing out on your patio.
Right, exactly. And a lot of times in the garden centers, you start seeing all these wonderful, beautiful pots in the nurseries. And then you start seeing all the soil that goes along with them and then beautiful plants. So people, I think, generally kind of like want to collect and, you know, get all those really nice components and kind of build it together. But sometimes you kind of get stuck and say, well, how come this professionally container garden that you may buy in a big, larger pot is so expensive? And there's a lot of ways that people can do it on their own. And the first thing to do is to start with a really nice outside pot, something that's going to match your decor in your patio, in your outdoor area. And that's going to be your decorative pot. Okay, and then what you don't want to do is have that to be, you know, exposed to all of the soil and the salts from the water and things like that. So that's going to be just an outside showy pot. You need to get one size smaller of just a plastic nursery can that you're going to be able to be that working pot. That's what's going to hold the container and all of your plants that you're going to stick into that. And as you put in your working container into your larger container, you want to make sure that you kind of buffer that with some insulation. Because remember, container gardening, you know, we are constantly exposed to the heat of the sun, and we don't have that soil to buffer those temperatures as well. So a nice layer of packing peanuts, or even an air conditioner pad, like little remnants of that.
Those are pretty cheap.
Yeah, it would really be, you know, really take you a long ways, and it kind of has that nice buffering capacity and keeps your pretty pot nice and clean. And then there's all the choices that you can possibly look at to able to fill that container, anything from ornamentals to vegetables and herbs to succulents.
Well, going back to the container itself, you, of course, very importantly, want to make sure that there's a drainage hole in those containers, because a lot of times those containers do not have holes. So it's always before you pick one up, make sure, or find a way that you can maybe just drill one on your own. And if you are not going to be doing sort of the container in container pot, I know a lot of people usually don't go through that extra step. Try to stay away from those Mexican clay pots, as attractive as they are. I'm speaking from experience. They are going to deteriorate on you in no time. Just the exposure to the elements outside and inside the pot, you're going to find yourself trying to move that pot, you know, maybe in the winter, and then it's just going to crack on you.
Right, exactly. And really, one thing about those clay pots is that they actually compete for that water in the soil. Mm-hmm. So they'll pull that water from the soil into the clay walls itself. So you're essentially having to water that pot almost constantly, which is going to further add to the breakdown of that clay pot. So those are really great and nice, but just for, you know, decorative purposes or really short-term uses.
Yeah. And they have some really attractive now synthetic type of pots that they almost look like they are ceramic, but they're lightweight and they're plastic and they're very mobile. And I think also, if you're thinking of a large container, if you have issues, mobility issues, perhaps maybe you can't pick up a certain amount of weight, it's a good idea to try to find one of those little, almost like a little plant dolly, right? Like a little wheeled base. You can find them just about anywhere that you can put the pot on before you start putting things in there. So when the time comes for you to have to move things around with the weather, it makes it a lot easier for you.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, you don't have to get an actual plant roller, if you will. Mm-hmm. If you go like to the moving section of any kind of store, you'll see some casters.
Oh, those are great.
That you kind of, they're for furniture moving, but you can fit that really nicely under the pot too. So you can kind of retrofit something for your own needs.
That's very smart. Okay. So now we've got the pot. Now what do we need to think about?
So we got to think about what kind of soil we're going to use. And there's a lot of different soils, a lot of different brand names that are out there. And for a container, you can use potting soil. That's going to be a peat moss based soil, and usually has some perlite, which is a little
white balls,
crunchy things that are in there as well. Those come in a lot of different trade names, but potting soil is a great medium to be able to use for a container garden. It is lightweight, so you'll be able to be light as you move your pot around, or if you need to move it around. But also you can use, if you wanted to, some garden soil. It's going to be a little bit heavier. That's usually going to have some kind of sand component in there. When you use something labeled garden soil, you want to make sure to read the package directions, because a lot of times they want you to mix that with the native or the existing soil. So keep in mind on that, on those different products that you use. Don't use straight peat moss. Don't use straight composted manure on there, or anything along those lines. But that good quality soil, it's going to be able to drain nicely and have some good aeration for the roots. It's going to be the best way to go.
What about the, you know, you go to the store right now, they have like specialty soils, right? You've got the soil for flowering plants, the soil for vegetables, the soil for this and that. Is that really important?
Well, a lot of times what those have, you have to read the bag itself. It may say with starter nutrients or, you know, specially designed for X, Y, and Z. But a lot of that stuff can be marketing. So my suggestion for you would be to see if there's an opened bag or something where you're able to look at the consistency of that soil and be able to touch it and feel it and even, you know, kind of hold it in your hands. You want to make sure that it gives, that it's nice and springy. It's not completely dried out. You can see the components. You can see the perlite mixed in there with the peat moss. If it's garden soil, you're going to start seeing that difference in consistency. And then also if there's any composted mulch in there, sometimes I'll add that in larger pieces as well. So go for the light and fluffy stuff for your container garden.
Because I guess if a bag of soil comes with, you know, sort of starter nutrients, it's eventually going to water itself out, right?
Right, exactly. And that's really set to give, you know, a plant a little head start. But you do have to consider to fertilize your plants when you get them into your containers and stretch out. Because we have a really long growing season here. So you want to make sure that, you know, you keep them healthy and then, you know, not let them go to seed and kind of keep them up with them to kind of keep their appearance, because, you know, you do put them in a highlighted area where you're going to spend a lot of your time. You know, most people spend time in their patio or areas surrounding the actual building of their house.
So maybe somebody's patio is in full shade or maybe it's in full sun. I guess that's something we need to take into consideration when doing some sort of plant or vegetable or flower selections for potted plants.
Right, exactly. So it all kind of starts off on what your goal is. What do you want to see? Do you want to see the nice bright colored flowers, multi-flowers, and change it out seasonally or even throughout the season? Or do you want to grow something that's more on the culinary side? Do you want to have some herbs that you're able to harvest and take back into your kitchen? So, you know, kind of consider that. For most time, most people's patios are fairly protected as far as from the wind and the heat. But you want to make sure that you just, you know, take care of the actual soil medium and water that consistently and let that drain out between the waterings. But most plants are going to, in the containers, are going to require some sun. That's really the take-home message on that. You know, whether it's flowering plants or herbs, they're going to need some sun.
Okay, so what do we need to know when we're actually putting a plant into a gardening container? So we take the plant out of the container. Maybe it's a little root-bound. What do we need to do with that particular plant itself before we put it in its new home?
Yeah, for sure. So they'll really great big plants, and they come in. You have to kind of tease the roots, if you will. So kind of don't be afraid to tear a little bit of the root ball itself. In fact, you're going to do more good than harm on that. So you want to make sure that you kind of open up that root ball. You can use a little knife, or even with small plants, you can just even use just your hands and place it into the container. The main thing on your container garden is you want one focal point. Whatever it's at, one showcase plant, that's going to go right in the center of your pot. And then all around the other sides of the pots are going to be almost like fillers. Mm-hmm. You know, things just kind of keep space, you know, green in that area, but not really that showcase spot. Another great element to bring into the container garden element is the spill feature.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Really to have some kind of trailing plants to kind of come out of the pot and down into the ground. And that kind of adds another visual element and a little interest to your container.
So a lot of height, some smaller plants, I think, if you're doing sort of a mass planting, I suppose.
Right.
So that's good to know. I think we really haven't covered a whole lot of container garden information. So we're going to have to continue this conversation next week. We've got a whole lot more to talk about container gardening. But if you have any questions for the Master Gardeners about container gardening or about some of the workshops that we were talking about earlier in the show, maybe you have some spring gardening questions, because this is the ideal time. Make sure you give the Master Gardeners a call at 771-2354, 771-2354. You can also find them online and on Facebook. We have links on the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. Well, we want to thank you for tuning in. We also want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.